welcome to episode 22 of the Squadcast, the official podcast of Glasgow Warriors. Thank you to everybody for tuning back in again. And yeah, we hope you enjoyed what was a quiet evening on Saturday, really, wasn't it?
Just oh, nice.
73 points and 11 tries against the Dragons.
You may be humble here.
Maybe humble, that's it, yeah. yeah, I mean, Murphy, just talk to us about it. We talk about club records left, right and centre, but in addition to securing a first ever home European quarterfinal, tickets on sale now, glasgowwarriors.org for this weekend. Go for it. Go get your tickets. Make it a sellout.
Plug.
Yeah, I mean, it's a heck of a game of attacking rugby.
Yeah, it was pretty special, wasn't it? It's not often we're involved in games like that, but it looks like towards this season, this is how it's going to go for the rest of the season. So it's great for us watching, great for fans and spectators. It's an exciting brand of rugby, and it's always special when you see two fellow front rowers linking up for a try. So, yeah, it was a great night.
Before we get stuck into that, because, I mean, there's a lot to be said for our particular guest today. Yeah. Can we just have your review on your flatmate's running style for Shuggy's try, please?
Yeah, so I spoke to Darge about this afterwards. I mean, he got the three handoffs, like, bash, straight to the guy's face, and then, yeah, the tongue out. I'm not sure. He said it just was a natural thing, an instinct that came to him. He said he didn't actually mean to have his tongue waggling in there, but he was actually going for the corner flag, he said. But, yeah, it was pretty a special run. But the thing is, I heard the boys say on the pitch, they were like, right, from next kickoff, we're going to do this and just, like, get the ball off or kick it long or whatever. And then Steno was like, right, we're just going to go run this. I'm not going to say the actual plays just in case any of the opposition are listening, but apparently Steno was like, right, we'll just kick it long, get it off. But then as soon as the ball came, he was like, right, let's do this instead. And yeah, it just happened off the cuff. So yeah, Darge's tongue's now gone viral, I've seen. So
yeah, that is 100% what's happened.
Yeah.
There's also a social media movement to buy today's guest a pint from our friends over at Thistle. Scottish Rugby Podcast.
I think we saw that.
Kind of call him. I don't know. We're not really a rival. We're good friends. General in the Scottish Rugby podcast.
Tell them to just fire it into the players' fund.
I think they probably would, to be honest. Anyway, without further ado, Johnny Matthews, how are you?
I'm not too bad, thanks. How are you, fellas?
We're doing very well. All the better for talking to yourself. Now, we can't start without mentioning, I mean, you broke about 19 club records on the weekend, but the chief record amongst them is you are the first Glasgow Warrior to score 5 tries in a single match. We're a few days on, so has that sunk in? Does that sink in? And when are you going to score 6?
As I said after the game, like, all the boys up front did the majority of the work for me, and I just kind of just flop over at the end. And then Delhi's one, that was a great break by him, and everyone's saying he's slowing his feet down, but I think he just panicked massively in open space. I don't even think he knew where he was passing the ball to. He just chucked it over his shoulder. And I just happened to be there.
I mean, that is possibly one of my favourite lines from post-match media. From it, I didn't do an awful lot of the work. Everybody else did. From yourself,
yeah. No, I think if you watch back as well, it's probably a fair assessment.
But again, we talk about the other records that have gone. Obviously, 5 tries in a game. You've also scored the fastest hat trick in club history, taking over from a certain Pete Horn. So that might get you a few extras in training for nicking one of the coaches' records.
Yeah, I don't know if Horny's happy about that, but knowing Petey, I think he's just delighted for the team.
And mean the other one, you're now into the top 5, I believe, for try scoring forwards in club history. So you can have that one. I'll double check that one exactly. But I mean, we've talked about it before when we come to various things. Your try-scoring record is actually something else when it comes to your entire career. Like, I seem to remember you scored like 40 tries in a season for Sedgley Park or something.
Yeah, it was, 29 in 25 games for Sedge. Yeah. But again, I think 25 of them were more.
is that something, Murphy, you can chip in as well?
It's great points per minute.
That's
great.
Yeah, you haven't scored for
us
yet, have you? No.
I'll give you one next time.
It'll come. I'll steal a ball for Johnny at the back of the ball at some point.
That'll be it. I mean, yeah, you were going nuts on Munster on the bench for what we thought was Sione Vailanu stealing a ball from a hooker. Like, this is a bone of contention for you when people steal balls off the back of the ball.
Yeah, well, big nons had the habit at the start of the season of keeping the ball until myself, Fraz and G went and had away with him, and all of a sudden the ball gets passed back.
And that's why our top try scorers are hookers.
Yeah, we joke, but Nons does a great job in front of that, giving the ball back. So if he wants to keep it, I'm not gonna argue with him. Like,
yeah, it was quite funny. So I was sat just by the bench at the weekend. I think it was after Johnny scored his 4th. George was screaming to get on. He was like, let me on now. Just let me on. And when Johnny scored his fifth, he actually booed. He wasn't happy.
I mean, he got one of his own, at least.
I know.
Like, it would have been more awkward had he not scored.
Yeah.
Could have got two if he didn't tap him.
I know. He could have had another. But yeah, he was. I think it was like the 33rd minute. And he was like, get me on. Get me on. And then George scored. Johnny scored his fifth and started booing him.
Well, we talk about sort of, you could have had another one. It's a very loose thing to say, obviously, when we scored 73 points in 11 tries, which, again, both club records from the weekend. But going into a quarterfinal this weekend, there's actually probably a good thing that there are still things to improve upon going into the game against the Lions on Saturday night.
Yeah, definitely. I think there's quite a few areas where you could maybe sharpen up a little bit. So it's always good, as you said, when you put 70-odd points on a team and, you know, we're still not really, you know, satisfied is the word that gets thrown around quite a bit here with the performance. So it's... Oh, I think we're in a good spot going forward.
More to come. Anyway, that's enough serious rugby chat for the Squadcast. Just a reminder of the rules, the regulations, the format for anybody who's a first-time listener or a sporadic listener, which we'll not take personally. In front of us, we've got the Squadcast hat. In that hat, we've got a bunch of scenarios written on scraps of paper. We have a few new ones in there because we realised that the same ones kept coming up. So we've refreshed. Now I've said that, the first one out will be one that we've had about 20 times, presumably.
Yeah, I know, I was about to say.
Yep. But
I can always just pretend I pick a new one.
Yeah, but they'll never know. The editing is all that slick. Anyway, Johnny.
Also, I mean, I've actually not told you about this,
but here we go.
I've had some good questions to me from the open training session.
Perfect.
A couple people know who they are, so yeah. I've actually got some in my Instagram that have been sent to me. So
all right.
I'll stay tuned for next week. I'll get them in there.
Let's do it.
Johnny, take lead. Go for it. Round one. Whatever one you want.
Pick whichever one is in there that doesn't look like it's been picked from. There's quite a few. It's been there for a while.
Here comes an old one.
Which teammate are you backing to nail the crossbar challenge?
Oh, there we go. Well, this is
a new one.
This is a new one. That is one of the new ones. So we've passed the first bar. You're probably a good person to ask for this because you are also regularly touted as one of the best footballers in the squad. So you can go with your feet or your hands. Which one are you going for?
I'd go feet personally. Yep. And I mean, touching on one being one of the best footballers in the squad, I don't think it's much competition, to be honest. There's maybe about four or five boys who can actually play.
You got Domingo and Sheba. And
Domingo, Sheba. Dunkey's good.
Beano claims that he was at some sort of academy when he was younger. Wilson's good.
Stafford's pretty good. Seba.
RG's
just bar Lucio and Enrique.
Yeah, bar the
front row boy's not a football fan, anyway.
Two left feet.
Oh, who am I backing to nail that? We've probably listed a couple there. Sheba would probably be pretty good. Dunkey, Mingo. You've got to pick the Gog Horn.
Who are you guaranteed miss?
Well, yourself, obviously. I can wrap my foot around that. You're big size 17s. You'd be kicking the floor before you hit the ball. Who's guaranteed to miss? Nathan Macbeth.
Yeah,
Staffer,
21 mils on,
never kicked a ball in his life.
I'm seeing a bit of a pattern here. Is that you're going to nail the people that are actually, you know, good at kicking, and your fellow front rowers are not going?
You know what? That's because Ollie Kebble is not too bad. Fraz and G. We sometimes have a kicking competition at the end of trainings.
Who wins?
Training sessions. It does genuinely vary. depends on who picks the competition. Normally wins it, but both of them are pretty good. Got decent nudges of the ball. So, yeah, I don't know.
George is also bad for, between plays, he'll shout for the ball. And just, like, say if you're just walking back, you'll shout for the ball, expect him to, run over to the touch and get ready for chucking a line out. Next second, you just see him line up for a drop goal from about 40, 50 out.
That, or he loves a spiral.
Yeah, he'll just bang it, but for no reason. There's no target, you just kick it.
I mean, this is one that comes up from yourself as well. It's like, you want to just kick in a game one time. I mean, we've seen Delhi.
Yeah, Delhi went for it.
Drop it.
Luckily, on an advantage, because if it wasn't.
Fair play to Delhi for knowing what that call meant. He hasn't got enough credit for that. He knew what that call meant, and he didn't execute it.
Was the call even made?
It was. Cole made the call. So it was call four. I just don't think it was meant for Delhi. But to answer the question there, I'm going to go George Horn or Donkey Weir.
Safe choices for both, I would say.
Yeah. I agree.
All right. Question two, dive in.
I know there's some with line paper and some without.
It doesn't matter, it's just what we had to hand.
Fair enough. was just trying to get a new one. Closest friend in the squad. Oh, that's a tough one, isn't it?
No, we have had this one before, but we haven't had it for a while, I don't think.
I can't remember the last time.
No, I can't remember the last time we had this. So this can stay.
That's a tough one. I think all of us in the carpool are pretty tight.
Yeah, expand on this carpool, because we had Sheba on a couple of, well, I don't know how many weeks ago that was now,
We've had one angle from it.
We've had one angle, yes.
So the Sheba, Tom Gordon, myself, Fraz Brown and George Turner.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of different personalities in that car thrown into one.
Talk to us about Tom Gordon's pub quiz.
Tom Gordon's pub quiz, it was initially a way to get him involved in talking in the car. Because otherwise, I don't know if Sheeb's mentioned, he's nicknamed the corpse. some morning, especially in the middle of winter, you may as well just be in the boot. There's pointless in being in there, which is why we think George Turner bought the hearse. So Tom Gordon's pub, his little quizzes are very good. And the other day, he just did one off the top of his head for capital cities for countries, which his knowledge of is outstanding. So fair play to Tom Gordon for that.
Nice.
But no, it's good. And then depending on how much sleep G and Fraz have had, depends on how happy they are in the mornings. And
imagine.
Then Sheba and myself just chat away.
Yeah.
Any karaoke, or is it strictly just pub quiz?
Not much karaoke, to be fair. General topics.
Yeah.
Football. I try and bring football into the conversation regularly, and get shut down quite a lot by Tom Gordon saying he doesn't want to talk about it. It's good group.
Yeah.
It's a good group.
Is that just because Tom Gordon doesn't like football, or is he just anti everything Everton related?
No, I just don't think he gets football.
He just doesn't
get football. He's from New Zealand, isn't he? They don't really have it over there. He's getting more involved in it, though. I think that's we've forced him to. that's not by his own choice.
If in doubt.
Yeah.
Who's the worst morning person? I know you say it depends on Fraz and that.
Yes. I'll let you answer that one.
I was going to say George, but it's Fraz. Fraz can be a rather grumpy person if he doesn't get sleep. But I think, so George is just generally grumpy, but whereas Fraz, if he doesn't get his sleep, he can be hell. Whereas if he does, he seems reasonably cheery.
But that's the same. So that's the same thing. You can tell by the first thing that George says when he gets in the car whether or not it's not going to be a good journey or not.
Are those the days that you
set the tone for the day?
Yeah. Does set the tone for the day. But with the lighter starts now, everyone seems to be in a better mood. The depths of winter was pretty tough.
Sheba claims he's a sportier driver. He says he sees a gap and he goes for it.
I would back him to be a rally driver. next time, if you ever get him on, I'll tell you the story of the first year here when we were driving to South Africa and we were nearly late.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
You did mention that.
If you were about to be late, who would you pick?
Who would I have driving? Yeah. Oh, Sheba.
Yeah.
Without a doubt. I don't know in whose car, though. If he had that one, if he had the Sterling Club car back, without a doubt, because he did not care about that car one bit. the hearse would be last choice, I think. It's good
for
comfort. Well, Tom Gordon's is the comfiest.
I've heard Sheba did say that.
Yeah, the Maserati is the comfiest by a mile, the family wagon.
Where is that? Oh, he's got two there.
I'll get back. Favourite non-playing member of Glasgow Warriors?
It's always a fun one.
Well, obviously yourself excluded. We can't.
Just say, this is the first time that question's ever been asked that somebody has actually mentioned.
Acknowledge
it.
It's just a tick box exercise.
Yeah.
Keep you happy.
I was brought up, not dragged up. I know how to keep people happy. The two stews are good. They're good value. The double act. They are good value. Kenny Brown obviously was useless in Johannesburg. So
he's sat next door at the minute. He'll probably listen to this and come good. Storing through the door.
He knows it. He ends up looking like a squashy.
Yeah, we do have a photo of Kenny with some rather unfortunate sunburn.
He was terrible. Obviously pump. You know, he's pumping shares. I've literally just naming everyone in, aren't I?
Yeah.
I'll go with the two stews though, as a little double act, because they are funny. Away in Perpignan, they were good value, trying to drive the van back.
They were good value. I seem to remember that, they got back about 24 hours after everybody else having driven the kit van back.
It's like Max and Paddy, them two, just trying to drive that van overseas.
Do you know what? There's a piece of content. I would actually love that. Not sure whether it would be broadcastable.
Put a camera in that van.
I'm not sure we should.
Nah, I don't think we should.
Not sure we should. I know. Shiz would. That would be an entertaining documentary, actually.
Shiz has just been everywhere. He'd be able to give you a tour of the sights on every single journey he goes on.
Yeah, yeah, he would. I'd like to put a GoPro in the cam of them two on a foreign trip.
You know, like that boy that watches the trains, the Francois. Yeah. Bouger, yeah. Get one of them on Shizzle.
I'd be there for that.
Game day, Shizzle one of them. Or Pump on the touchline with a camera.
Yeah. didn't you try that?
We tried
that. Didn't you try that? And he just, yeah. was yeah. a flat out no.
A couple of our team tried to get him to do that in Johannesburg when we went over there for the Lions game in February. And the response from Pump is not broadcastable.
Yeah, I was going to say, you'd have to censor a lot of what he says.
You wouldn't be able to broadcast
that. Munster, when we were away in Munster,
yeah.
there's actually a clip, you can see it on the footage, where I can't actually remember what happens on the pitch, but we get overturned for a penalty, and as the touchy's running past, Pump stays in his box. He's in the little white line box. He's not doing anything wrong. But you just see his head poking out and shouting at the touches as he's sprinting past.
Yeah, you always know the emotion for that. There was a clip from the Bath game down at the Rec as well, where it's Joe Thuckin' and Singer's making the breakdown, and Steno makes the cover tackle, flips him into touch. And all you see at the bottom of the broadcast is just Pump's head and arms just go absolutely nuts. 79 minutes and 50-odd seconds on the clock.
That's what you want. That's what you want from Pump. That's what you want from your team manager.
That's what you get.
That's exactly. 100%. Exactly.
Anyway, next one up.
Are we in?
We're in.
I'll get this one out. That was spat out. Which teammate has the most pre-match rituals, and who is the most relaxed routine? Who has the most relaxed routine? To be honest, I don't know. It's probably the answer to that question, because I think most people are probably, well, don't know.
They're in their own little headspace.
Yeah. I think quite a lot of the time. So you probably don't pick up on. Little ritual. Me and Donkey Weir have got one where his little tight skin top he puts on to make himself not look as chunky.
That's plump.
So every time I've put that on, we've had a successful result personally and on the pitch. So that's a little ritual that me and Donkey have. And there was a fight last year to trying to put it on, but he's stuck with his guns. So that's a little one that me and him have.
Fair.
But apart from that, I couldn't really tell you. I don't know.
I don't know, a few boys. I know that Nathan always, without fail, will do the captain's run in his game boots. So you'll see tomorrow.
Oh, he's 21s,
We're wearing his 21s to run about with.
I had to go on him for that last week.
Yeah. So that's his superstition ritual that he does.
Nice.
In terms of not so much superstition, but Darge has got a pretty strict eating regime for a match. He'll always have... For some reason, instead of having like spaghetti bolognese, you'll have like bolognese with rice.
Okay.
As his pre-match meal, you'll have wraps. As if it's a late night, you'll have wraps for lunch, and you'll have porridge in the morning. Obviously, living with him, he's done it every weekend, so
pretty well set in that routine.
And then the last one, which is quite an interesting one, is RT. He's got so while we're doing the warm up, he's obviously does his kicking and whatnot, and then just as we're getting called into a huddle, he has to nail a drop goal. From about 30, 40 out.
I have noticed this before. I didn't know whether this is just him getting the ball back to where he needs it to be or whether this is an
actual thing. No, so he has to hit a drop goal like just as we're about to go in huddle. So all the boys will be huddling just towards the sticks and he's like pinging them from about 30, 40, which is why he's always the last one into the huddle. But it was actually quite a funny story because against... I can't remember who it was. It was one of the South Africans. It might have been Stormers last season. He actually missed like three or four in a row. And it got to the point where he was like 10 metres away from the sticks and he actually nailed it.
Didn't help.
Yeah. That's his little ritual. But there's not many boys that I know that have got.
I don't know. I think some boys probably listen. I probably wear the same undershorts.
Yeah.
But like that's just, I think quite a few boys have that.
Yeah.
Just
habit.
Some boys probably listen to the same music.
Yeah.
But again, you I don't know. Don't really know what they're listening to. So,
who's the most relaxed?
Who's the most relaxed?
Suave seems just.
Suave's cool just in his own little.
This is just another day for him. This is
in
just
his own little space.
Yeah.
Nons is quite relaxed, I think. Yeah. Little Nons.
Big Nons is pretty relaxed.
Big Nons is pretty relaxed as well. To be fair, yeah.
There's only that really that nervous energy only really builds just before you go out the tunnel. I feel like throughout the warm up. everyone's relaxed but switched on.
Before you go out, everyone's just kind of chilled.
From where we are, like from our side as the media team, we kind of noticed that difference a wee bit as well, because you walk around on the pre-game warm-ups and stuff and you see like you're doing your throwing, you're doing scrums, all that sort of stuff. Everybody's pretty set on what they're doing.
Yeah.
And it's just like you said, as soon as it's right, everybody back into the change rooms, you can kind of see the whole...
Yeah, you know when it's go time.
One.
Yeah.
Just sort of flip into, right, no, this is, we're serious now. I can kind of see where you come from in terms of the nervous energy building at that point.
Ollie Smith seems quite relaxed. I don't know if that's a facade. He seems quite chilled.
Yeah, he does admit there is some games where he's absolutely cacking his pants.
Is he?
He'll love us for saying that.
But yeah, I think a lot of boys can put on like a relaxed, brave face, but underneath they're actually, it's like a duck in water. You just look calm up top and then the feet are going. But yeah, I can't think of many other boys that have got any strange pre-match rituals.
Nah, I can't think of any, to be fair.
I knew somebody that would have to do captain run in the same shorts that they played in. So they'd tell the kit man, I need those exact pair of shorts for tomorrow. Kit man would be like, ah, okay, that's fine. And then gets to the game day, he's like, are they the exact same ones? He's just like, yeah, it is. it's obviously not.
That person shall remain nameless.
Who's that? He's name names.
Previous player. His brother plays here. Tall. His second name's also could be a colour.
There are 50 shades of it.
Yeah. Was it
Big John.
Gray, I did not know that.
Big Johnny Gray loves captain's run shorts to play to be worn to play in the game that he plays in. But
fair enough.
They always get the quick swap and then he just are they the same one? Yep. And then he plays.
Beals, you're just keeping him happy, is he?
Exactly, yeah. Beals, you just sort something out.
Sure, whatever you want.
All right, we'll go with one more.
One more.
One right. more, and then you
are... Should we get Merv to pick one?
Let's get him
involved then.
All right, Murphy.
May as well do something.
He'll pick about 12 here.
But it's a new one. It's not a new one. Oh, this is interesting. We've just been talking about this, sort of. Which teammate is your first to pick for a five-a-side team?
Oh, here we go.
Oh,
so kind of listed the team.
I've probably named the squad
and the bench.
You can pick your full team if you want. Feel free.
Five aside team.
Yeah, one, we'll go one goalie and then four random positions.
Players.
Yeah.
See, Beano would probably be good in goal, just because he's just massive and he can actually play a little bit. But then also, so would Wilts.
Yeah,
Wilts would be a very good keeper.
I can see both of them also being pretty good from the sort of not. Shouting commands, but just generally noise from the back of the pitch.
Yeah, when we used to play a lot of like headers and volleys at Ravenscraig and Tory Glen, and do you know who loved being in goal? It was Gog.
Gog loved
being in goal. I mean, it doesn't suit his physical attributes, but...
He just loves diving about.
Yeah.
Who's my four outfielders then?
So where are you sticking yourself?
I don't even know if I make the team.
So you're going to be a tracksuit manager, just sort of on the side.
I'll put myself in.
Right,
I put myself
up top,
or CDM.
What formation? 2-2, 1-3.
It's 1-2-1. So who are we putting goal? Wilson goal. Yeah, I'll take Wilson goal.
Smaller goals on five sides. So.
Yeah. I put myself at the back actually. Just controlling the play.
Quarterback. Yeah.
Midfield two Super. Of.
Mingy.
Well, who should I don't know. I'll put Duncan. Duncan's a very good footballer, Duncan Weir. Do you know who forgot in goal as well? Shuggy.
Oh yeah.
Shuggy loves going in goal.
Speaking of football and Shuggy, do you remember that
the Edinburgh game that got cancelled and canceled. Scored the welding
screamer. That was actually caught in the background of the
on the broadcast,
interview on the broadcast, yeah.
That was one of the best goals I've seen in life.
That was such a strange time.
Shug has dined out on that for the last 2.5 years.
Yeah.
I'm putting, Shug's in goal.
Okay.
Putting Shug in goal.
Surely bring Wilson out of there then.
Yeah. I don't think I'll make this team, to be honest. I'm going Dunkey Weir, Seba, obviously.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sheba.
Sheba's good. Stafford as well.
Yeah.
Stafford's got a good... You need a left footer. I don't know, actually. I'm struggling, yeah. Gog. Hey, can we make this happen? Can we get like an 11-a-side game against like Partick Thistle or something?
Yeah, we'll have a word with you if anybody from the Partick Thistle Supporters Club feels like it. Summer game.
Let's go on the road together. And we'll play at Inverness. We'll have a game of footy against them.
Yeah, sure. Why not? We'll just
I genuinely wonder what like sports we could like make teams of out of our team, right. Like a bowling team,
a basketball team,
basketball team. You'd be all right.
Basketball, you've just got Richie and JP.
JP,
that's
Bino.
It. You don't even need the other side.
Oh, just because they're tall doesn't mean they can play basketball.
Yeah, fair.
I mean, Harley was good at basketball.
Bob was pretty good.
We've got table tennis players. We've got heaps of them. We've got
actual tennis players.
We've got Dobie loves tennis.
Yeah. Golfers.
Quite a lot of golfers. I'm sure we can make an Olympics out of our squad. Like just.
I mean, it's Melrose Sevens weekend. We've also got a pretty decent Sevens team if we need to.
We'd have a hell of a Sevens team.
Yeah.
Which you'd expect from a professional rugby team.
You would also.
To be honest. Yeah.
Oh, dear.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, that's your takeaway from this. Right. You need to do that now. Right. You need to make that happen.
We've literally got a five-a-side pitch across the road.
We do.
Why can't we play Motherwell at Ravenscraig?
Yeah.
I've seen them train.
Head to the Orium and play Hearts.
I've seen them train, and I reckon half the boys I've just named there could get on that team.
There you go, Motherwell. Gauntlet thrown down. I know there's at least two people listening to this that I know that are Motherwell fans, so this could be a fun one.
There's also the highly prestigious game that gets played at Torrey Glen. Must be the over 60s that are playing
the
walking
football.
I feel like we could.
In fairness, though, some of them are very good players.
That's all about controlling the ball, which is probably where two of our boys would fall down.
Yeah. All right. Well, we'll work out exactly who we're playing, when, where, and how you can buy tickets. But in the meantime, buy tickets for a quarterfinal this weekend at Scotstoun.
That's a smooth transition, that, to be fair.
Can I say? That's in my first rodeo. Anyway, that brings us to the end of episode 22 of the Squadcast. My thanks to Johnny Matthews for turning up and giving us that particular reel of entertainment. Go well on Saturday if you're selected, which at this point in the week, we don't actually know. So it's up. Murphy, thank you very much.
Thank you.
We'll see you next week.
Yes.
And we'll see you next week as well, Warrior Nation. Hopefully we'll see you on Saturday against the Lions at Scotstoun, 8 p.m. kickoff. Be there to cheer on your Glasgow Warriors. In the meantime, I've been Craig Wright. He's been Murphy Walker. He's been Johnny Matthews. And this has been the Glasgow Warriors Squadcast.